He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But like, he's an older rookie, and I think, you know, I think everybody believes like, yeah, he can shoot, but he's could be a tire fire for the rest of his career defensively, which I don't think is totally unfair. But at the same time, I'm going to try to say this in a way that doesn't sound like I'm being really mean to Dalton, and it is not going to work. So much of defense is read and react. It's intuitive. It's understanding. I don't get the impression that Dalton is a basketball intellectual. I'm not talking about I need him to take my MCATs for me. I just mean,
yeah,
I don't, you know, he's very much in the, I'm just here to hoop kind of
way,
which is why he's so, sort of so creative and tried to dunk.
He's the dude with no regrets on his chest.
Right.
You know, like it's just, I Dalton seems like a really nice dude. I haven't heard anything about him being like malicious or anything like that.
There are certainly enough
whispers out there that there's frustration sometimes. It doesn't even have to be a whisper. There was the timeout that JJ Redick called and screamed across the court at Dalton saying, "That's your bleeping play." So it's like, if Dalton, the shooter, has his head coach frustrated over a play that is run to get him a shot, then I would imagine the things that he is asked to do that he isn't as good at or that he wasn't drafted to do only makes them all the more, those are even tougher. So
do you think the Lakers could trade him again for Mark Williams? Like, do you think they could do that trade again?
Yeah, I actually think so.
Okay. But is that because the Hornets really like Dalton, or because they
really
are worried
to get
that
off
Williams
of Mark
is gonna,
Williams?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So distressed assets are tricky like that because, you know, that you can only trade them once. You know, would I include connecting a Kessler deal? Yes, no question. Like, you're not getting that done otherwise. Kessler's 23 years old and so on and so on. Position of need. I don't think your trade is a bad one. I think you can look at it and be like, look, they filled the biggest need that they had that they could fill through a trade. They still kept, you know, I mean, if I would rather trade the Dalton than the pick. If I could.
Yeah.
So if I could keep the pick and trade Dalton, then I would do that.
And that's essentially how I designed this thing out. Cause I would like to
get Larson back. He was pretty good.
The other part of this too, that I'm going to be kind of meta about in my reporting here, because I don't see this too often where people throw water on their own reporting for a decent reason. But what this kind of struck me as is I have heard plenty that the Lakers aren't exactly thrilled with how much it's costing to fill their center spot by a trade. Because all of these teams saw exactly what it was going to take, what they were willing to give up for a center. And they have better centers or more healthy centers than Mark Williams. So they're asking for even more than it was going to take to trade for Mark Williams. And we know this about Rob, that he has kind of a price in mind and he doesn't like to extend beyond that price. And he doesn't necessarily even like to negotiate a whole bunch beyond that price. And what that has led to is, you know, this potential for, all right, fine. You don't want these few assets that we have for the center that you have. Well, we'll go use it on something else. And this kind of struck me a little bit as, and in all of these other trade hypotheticals where they aren't trading for a center, it struck me as like, oh yeah, we'll do it. We'll trade for somebody else.
Actually, I don't like make me cape for Rob. Jeez. But like, I don't think that's fair because we had this conversation, Andy and I did on the show, I think for today. It's, you remember, let's say the thing where you're like, wait, which day did we talk about this? And then which day was the show published? And now it's very confusing to me.
It's a daily show. I never know what day it is. People always are hitting me up about on two Wednesdays ago, you right. said this, this, and this. And I'm like, man, I don't remember. There are times where we're in Slack and Harrison will remind things about stuff that he and I talked about last night. And I'll be like, I don't know, man. I'm sorry.
No clue. And so like, I can't remember what day it is, which is why I mean, like I always need a watch that has a date window on it, even though some people don't like that. But like Clint Capella, for example, who I think is a realistic in the sense that you can come up with a scenario in which he would sign a taxpayer mid-level with the Lakers.
Yeah.
I think the reality of it is if I had to pick the coin flip between Capella costs more than the Lakers can give versus Capella ends up on the Lakers, absolutely taking costs more. I think he ends up closer to 10 than if he wants it than the Lakers. I just, you know, assuming there are enough teams that won that, because he's still a pretty good player and there are no centers.
Yeah.
And so it's a really bad market. There's no natural alignment. I see a lot of people in the chat have asked about like Bam Adebayo. Like, you put together the best offer the Lakers can put together, which would be Reeves, Connect, and the first.
It's everything.
That is everything. Like,
yeah.
A couple pick swaps I get us in there too. Like, is that enough for Bam? Like, you're essentially trading Reeves for Bam at that point. Reeves and Connect and a first. You know, you're trading everything. Like, I'm not entirely sure Miami even says yes to that. So, like, there aren't, you know, the Kessler thing, you know, all the reportings is that, you know, they Utah wants multiple first-round picks. Well, the Lakers don't have multiple first-round picks. They barely have multiple picks if you include their second-rounders. So there's not a natural way to solve the trade, the center issue through trades. And so rather than trade for a player that is lesser, it's not the only need that they have. And so I think you can get tunnel vision and so focused on we have to get a center that you can get a lesser center than you'd be able to do, solve two or three other things and do the best you can with your, you know, taxpayer mid-level or something and hopefully land somebody serviceable for a year or whatever or 6 months until the circumstances change. So I don't think the idea of we'll walk away from it and we'll just fill other needs is a fair way to criticize Rob. I don't think you should go past that sort of proverbial line between what you think is good and a bad value for your team just because center is the most obvious need that the team has.
Yeah, I'm not even levying it as a criticism necessarily. I just think we are in smokescreen season and we know what the Lakers very desperately need to address. And we also know how Rob has had some of these talks in the past and he's been willing to push away from the table. Sometimes I think to an extent that has hurt the team, but he has been more willing to push away from the table than I think people around the league give him credit for. And that has, I think, enabled him to get good deals on the trades that he has actually made is the fact that he has pushed away from the table.
Okay. So yeah, I misunderstood a little bit.
Yeah. But the way that I framed it poorly and essentially what I wrote, part of the thing that I wrote in this piece is that, you know, if you're a team and you have a center, whether you're Brooklyn, whether you're Portland, whether you're whomever, if you have one of the centers that the Lakers have been kind of calling around about and you can kind of or have banked on getting X or Y asset for your center, and then all of a sudden the Lakers turn that X or Y asset into a different player because you tried to get X or Y asset and then some. You know, this felt to me, even as I was writing about it, even as I was having conversations with people about it, this felt a little to me smoke screen adjacent at the very least, where it's like, yeah, we'll do it, you know, and Wiggins would really help like that. You know, that also needs to be pointed out here is that he fills an actual need, too. So
he's a better version of DFS with maybe a little less shooting, but he'll do what DFS was intended to do better. And then you can bump Dorian down. I'm assuming they bring him back to, you know, bump him down into a backup role, which I think is more suited for what he is at this point of his career. You're strengthening the bench, filling a need in the first unit, making that first unit defense much better.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that, you make, that to me is more valuable better. Than a marginal center.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all of this plays out. I want to, you know, kind of segue back to or circle back to the draft, which is in a few hours and 4 hours or so. No, a few hours.
Three.
Cooper Flagg will be a Dallas Maverick in a few hours and 7 minutes. And I want to ask you, like, what are your expectations going into this draft? Raj and I basically set our baseline for, we said we would like the Lakers to have addressed the center spot tonight or over the course of the draft. Does that matter to you?
Nope. Because I don't see how they can. Like, I'm very bearish on the center. I mean, they could do it maybe. I don't see how they're doing this without free agency. Without, at the very least, without the leverage of free agency. Because the centers, you know, Gafford, I guess, you know, I'm sure everybody kind of understands what the parameters of that deal might look like. But Dallas probably wants to explore PJ. They want to do it, like, sort of like see which deal, because they have too many bodies, but they don't have to resolve that problem today.
Yeah.
And, you know, Utah has no need to trade Walker Kessler today. I think if the Lakers had enough to get Walker Kessler, they'd have Walker Kessler by now. So I just don't see there's a lot of stuff that they can do to solve the problem until you get to free agency. So I have no expectations of them addressing center over the 2 days of the draft, other than maybe they draft somebody at 55, but that doesn't solve your problem.
So what then are you expecting of the Lakers, or is it just kind of like,
nothing.
I'm going to ride this out and see where we stand?
Nothing. I mean, I'm curious to see if they do anything. I would like to see them buy a pick. You know, buy into the second round if they can. You know, if you have if you have an ability to take a contract like, you know, Gabe Vincent or something like that and parlay it into something marginally more useful, because somebody wants an expiring contract, and you can take a guy who's got 2 years left on his deal and maybe it's a little more marginal, you pick up a second round pick for your troubles. Like, I would like to see the Lakers do more stuff like that. But I have no expectations for them. They have no assets, really. They don't have any picks to use in this draft. And so it's like, it couldn't
other
be
than that. Taylor, how is the play, Miss Lincoln?
Right. But they're not attending the play. That's the thing. It's like, they're not going to get shot.
They left their ticket at home. That's good.
They're just saying they are not attending.
Maybe that'll be the name for this pod, this episode, NBA draft review. They're not going to get shot. Right.
I mean, but think about how much better it'd have been for Lincoln if he just not attend. You know, like, you know what? We don't have. I'm not into. I don't like live theater. Like, I'm not going tonight. And so, like, you know, the Lakers don't have. They don't have a reason to be at the theater. So I have no expectations for them. I hope they buy into the second round. I think they probably will. If only because there are too many teams with too many picks, with 4 second round
Brooklyn
picks.
Has 5 firsts. I have no idea. Like, they're the team to watch for me, you know, whatever they choose to do. Cause if they choose to use all of their picks, that means they have to trade some of the guys on their actual roster. And if they don't choose to use all of those picks, are they going to use it to consolidate their picks and move up? Are they going to use it on an actual win now player? I'm really curious where they're
going. Because it's different than like OKC. Like, OKC will just keep trading their stuff back, so they always have that pool of assets. Whereas, you know, Brooklyn could still use better players. So like, if they could trade up and do something interesting, I think they could. But I for the purposes of the Lakers, though, it's really, I mean, look, there are a couple teams that have like 3 or 4 second rounders too, I believe, that are clearly not going to be used. And so go purchase one of those. How many, use some of that Mark Walter money, you know? They don't have it.
They don't have it yet.
But it's there. Come on. Come on. Just a little. It's in your own best interest, like, to float them a little loan, Mark Walter. Like, how many can they can only buy? Can you buy more than one? I don't even remember the rules on this.
No, it's set a cap. It's amount a cap of money that you can spend. Yeah, I think they have about $7 million that they can spend. All right, so I'll ask the question in a slightly different way then. Is there an outcome to this draft that would disappoint you? Is it, one would think if you don't have expectations, then you can't be disappointed, but.
Correct. Yes, they doing, my baseline answer is always, and it's sort of lame, but I think it's applicable. Don't do stupid things. Like, there's a person here, I think Brian Kamenetsky, it's literally spelled correctly on the rundown, Seth. Don't be lazy. He's like, the Lakers love to make headlines during big events. And I think there is some truth to that historically, but trying to make headlines during big events leads you to do stupid things.
Yeah.
So it's first do no harm. Don't do stupid things.
Don't get shot.
Like, they are in a box. They put themselves in the box. But you can't shortcut probably getting out. You know, the Lakers got extremely lucky in the sense that they shortcut all these problems that they were going to have with what exactly do we do with this LeBron AD core? Because Nico Harrison got freaked out by Luka's weight. And yeah.
Michael Finley grabbed a beer and it changed. Right.
And so he flipped out, talked to the only GM he felt confident dealing with. And now the Lakers have Luka, which in the short term does make some of their problems a little worse, just solves a lot of long-term ones. You can't fix it all this offseason. It's very unlikely the Lakers can fix everything this offseason. They can make themselves, I think, significantly better if they do smart things, but they can't go through every box that's going to make you say they're probably as good as Oklahoma City, because if you want the top end talent that they need, you can't do that in depth at the same time. If you want depth, you probably can't really boost up your top end talent. Pick one. So they can make themselves better and they can make next season very interesting, but you can't try to fix everything at once. So what would disappoint me? Stupid things, Anthony. Stupid things.
Well, you already came on the show. A reminder, please do hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button to the, there's a few more of you in here today than usual. So I would appreciate if you guys subscribe to the show so that you don't miss moments like this. Last thing before we get you out of here, and throw to the draft, and a reminder also that I'm going to be on Locked On Lakers, later tonight, after the draft.
Did the Lakers hopefully recap the play, and did they get shot?
You'll know it's great depending on if I show up with Joker makeup or not. But
oh God, I hope not.
But yeah, I want to end on this because of the Wiggins talk and the all of the things that the Lakers need to accomplish here. We have the backdrop being the Mark Walter sale and all of everything that comes with that as well. Do you think Rob feels any pressure? Because do you think Rob feels any pressure with that sale now official, right? Not officially official. It's going to be done towards the end of Q3, maybe Q4, according to the release. But the way it worked out with the Dodgers when Mark Walter took over there was he gave Ned Coletti a little bit of time, gave him a couple of years, and then eventually, brought Stan Kasten, hired Andrew Friedman, and the rest is history from there. How much pressure do you think Rob feels given the way things went with the Dodgers and given the way that the Dodgers have operated over the years compared to how the Lakers have operated while Rob has been there?
I don't think he feels a ton yet. I don't think the Lakers are going to look significantly different. I think Pelinka is going to be here a little while, unless of course they just fall off a cliff or something like that, or there really is. But like, I also, and I'm sure you're in the same boat, like Genie is going to be the governor for the foreseeable future, but that does not mean that Genie is going to be the final say in how the franchise operates. If I were, I think she'll run the business. I think she'll continue to do all that stuff. She'll be the brand ambassador. She'll do all that. Because if you were going to hire someone to do those things, you would hire Genie Buss because they're very good at that stuff. But the basketball ops side is going to look a lot different, I think, over the next couple of years. And Genie's not going to stop that. I don't think that necessarily means that Pelinka gets fired. But what I do think it means is that Pelinka probably has a boss in the next couple of years, but it won't happen between now and the trade deadline, I think, you know, next season. I think they'll start relatively quickly investing in infrastructure. Like, I don't know if it's going to take closing. It shouldn't take closing on this deal for the Lakers to start making those infrastructure investments. Like, that would be disappointing to me. I don't see why it would take that for them to beef up the scouting department. Like, they know the money's going to be there. I don't think he's that worried. Not yet. You know,
I also think he's been there for long enough and made enough money in it where it's like, look, I had my run. If my run is over when it's over, it's over when it's over. I don't think, you know, eventually if he is replaced in the way that Ned Colletti was, that he would be all that disappointed. Now,
well, he was sort of sunsetted, right?
Yeah, kind of. Well, I mean, he was kept on as a consultant, and then he's now does the TV shows with Spectrum, right?
Yeah, so, they retired him, like, the, you know, but he was also had been doing it for 30 years or something like that. So, like,
you think Rob would be good on Spectrum? He's a good talker.
Well, sort of. He could be. I don't think he'd do it.
Yeah. All right. We do have a super comment here. So Brian, you can hang out for it, or you can peace out if you like.
Is it a super comment? Like, the comment is super, like, that is a super comment, or is it
a,
like,
super, super comment. I'm going to say whatever I have to keep those super comments coming, right? But it does involve playing this clip. Fuck
Washington! All right.
All right. So Ryan Lucas asks, what about AR Vando Maxi, the 31st, first for Wiggins, Ware, and Kevin Love? You keep Dalton in the three first swaps. Would both sides do the deal? Would neither? Why or why not? I'll just put it to you this way, Ryan. The Heat would not trade Khalil Ware for Kevin Durant. I don't think they're trading him for Austin Reeves and Jared Vanderbilt. You know, I think Ware is there to stay. They consider him a cornerstone of their franchise. I also think the Lakers consider Austin Reeves a cornerstone of their franchise. So I don't think they're going to be looking to move him for a pretty good 3-and-D wing and a young center who might be good, but I don't think is definitely going to be a star. Where do you arrive on this trade here? It's one of those rare trades that I think both sides say no to.
Yeah, they're not giving up Ware, I think, first and foremost, but I don't love that's too much. I'm not a the you're starting into three swaps and the Wiggins, like, I don't think they want Vanderbilt.
I don't think anybody,
I think really they really Vanderbilt. Like Ware.
I don't think the Lakers really want Vanderbilt, but
no, I'm talking about Miami. I know the Lakers don't, but this really gets to the problem. It's like, they just have too many guys who play in one direction. I mean, I'd be lying if you, when you told me that I didn't have to stay, I also took that to mean I didn't have to listen very carefully. So I'm only now just catching up.
No, that's
perfect. I don't think that works.
I don't think so either. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. A reminder, I will be on Locked On Lakers a little bit later today. If we get any kind of breaking news, I will hop on here and break that down. Brian, we tentatively said about, 7 o'clock your time?
Well, between 7 and 8, I think.
All right. Yeah. So
we may even do it live.
We might even do it live. I prefer live shows.
It's easy for me in post. So
yeah, that's why I like live shows.
If we're being honest here, it's because I'm doing all the work by myself because Andy's out of town and it's easier. So,
yep. Perfect.
We'll see.
Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thank you very much to Brian for hopping on. And I will talk to you guys, as I always say this time of year, in 15 minutes, potentially.
Bye, everyone.